Dean is with us now. The ABC network has taken Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Any response from Kimmel yet, Dean?
Not one word. A lot of people are asking, you know, why aren't you broadcasting Jimmy Kimmel's side of the story? Jimmy Kimmel hasn't said anything about the whole thing. That's why I'm sure that he will at some point. But, you know, as has, you know, we've been reporting in our newscast, he was placed on what is called indefinite hiatus. In other words, suspended, not fired, but indefinite hiatus, suspended until further notice. And really, that's all we know about whole thing of, you know, the insides. Everybody is talking about it. But,
he actually spent less monologue time on the night in question here that's caused all this than he usually does. He has poked fun at the administration before, and usually he spends a lot of time on it. He didn't on, I think it was Monday night or whenever it was, but it's what he said that caused the ruckus.
I guess so. I mean, making fun of the political scene, politicians. You know, swing over to Antenna TV sometime and watch Johnny Carson from the mid-70s talking about Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. It's nothing new to have a late-night host, talking about the political scene. But this is very, very definitely unprecedented. All I know was I turned on the TV last night wondering, you know, what were we going to get. And it was Celebrity Family Feud. Couldn't be much different than the night prior.
Yeah. Of course, Carson was an equal opportunity offender, wasn't he? He poked at everybody.
I guess so.
On the bright side, we have to give Leo High School a shout out this morning.
Yeah, what a great story this has become. This incredibly talented musical group from the Auburn-Gresham neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, the Leo High School choir, has been competing on America's Got Talent. And officially yesterday, they were invited to be part of the absolute finals. They'll go up against five other groups starting next week for the top prize, which is $1 million. I'm sure that could come in handy these days with the budgets being cut and, you know, money not available for schools.
What's the story on Ed Sheeran? He doesn't want to perform in space.
He doesn't want to. Well, you know, really, to think about it, would you want to really? I guess it's your, you know, what kind of sense of adventure do you have? I suppose. But he's got a new album out that's called Play. He was being interviewed on the BBC, and they brought up the fact that he was invited to go on, you know, one of these space missions like William Shatner did, like Jeff Bezos did, where, you know, they go up for like 5 minutes or something like that. But they offered Ed Sheeran an opportunity to do that, to perform a song so he could become the first ever performer to sing in space. And he said he turned them down, saying that it terrified him that he will go into space when it's so common that you can book a flight online.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with them on that.
Yeah. Camp Rock 3 is happening.
You say that like you watched it growing up.
I heard about it.
Yeah, well, if you've got kids of a certain age, Camp Rock was super, super popular on the Disney Channel back in 2008 is when it came out. There was a sequel that came 2 years after that, and now it's been officially announced that there will be a Camp Rock 3 will bring back the Jonas Brothers. This is sort of where the Jonas Brothers got their start. Same with singer Demi Lovato. They all were Disney Channel artists back in the day. And all of them, Demi Lovato, all the Jonas Brothers, everybody is back for this third movie. They are also executive producers. You know, if you grew up with this, clearly, like Bob did, then you're going to be super excited to know. No word on when this is going to be on the air yet.
Downton Abbey is back, too.
Yeah, Downton Abbey is... I didn't realize. I knew it was popular. It was the most popular series that ever ran on PBS. The most popular ever in PBS history. It ran for 5 years on television, and then they turned it into a motion picture. Super successful. They cranked out a second motion picture. Super successful. And now the third one has just opened in theaters this past Friday, and they are claiming that this is going to be the end of it all. Although, as I watched this third and final movie and completely enjoyed it, by the way, I came to Downton Abbey a little bit later in this whole thing, but I think it's just so lovely. I think that there are so many opportunities for, you know, spinoffs and prequels, and I just can't believe they're going to stop this whole thing. So we'll find out. But in New York last week, I sat down with the cast of Downton Abbey and talked about them wrapping it all up.
It was difficult to hold, you know, these are pretty stoic. I mean, Mary especially, she's a pretty stoic character. She doesn't, like, burst into ugly crying, which is what I basically wanted to do whenever I was filming, you know, filming my last scene with Joe, filming those last moments. It was a challenge. I think that's probably what we found, you know, the biggest challenge on this was, you know, keeping your composure of your own emotions underneath going on, knowing that it was the last one.
And Maggie Smith, it's still so pervasive in this, not to mention the giant portrait that is in so many of the scenes, but her presence is felt. What do you think that she represented?
Maggie was such an icon in her, you know, as an actor, and she's an icon in Downton Abbey. You know, it's always Maggie's lines that people remember, those brilliant lines that Julian would write for her, and she delivered them like no one else can. And you know, I think Violet as a character is such a huge part of Downton, and like with anything, anyone in life, you know, when you lose someone, you don't lose the love. You know, they're love stays, and you still have them in your heart. And I think this film very much has Maggie in its heart.
Well, it's been a long time coming, because I think we all felt that at the end of the TV series that was going to be it. I remember saying to Gareth Niemeyer, executive producer, when he said, you know, we're going to get a film together, I said, well, you know, good luck, because you're never going to herd all these cats. So great, great credit to them that not only did they do it once, but three times. But so this farewell has been a long time coming. And this one really is the finale.
I think this movie, not only is it a love letter to the fans, but the movie stands alone as a movie about change, about acceptance of change, and about the acceptance of moving on and letting go.
Maggie Smith just looms over this in such a lovely and wonderful way. Well, what was it like doing one without her?
Yeah. I mean, just having somebody like that in the room, with the stories that she has to tell, an extraordinary presence. And it was lovely to be around. It was lovely also to sort of see her welcoming people, young actors. And I think of something like Laura, who plays Lady Edith. You know, it was one of her first jobs. And suddenly she's sat at a table with Dame Maggie Smith.
Wow. Who very much took her under her wing as well.
Amazing.
You know, her and Michelle.
Yeah, that's Alan Leach, Tom Branson, Kevin Doyle, Mr. Molesley, Hugh Bonneville, Lord Grantham, and Joanne Froggatt, who plays Anna Bates, and Michelle Dockery, around which most of this story in this new movie revolves, Lady Mary Talbot. I know it's no Camp Rock, Bob, but it's still pretty popular.
Hey, at least I don't still call it Downtown Abbey. Right. Does anybody still do that?
I was doing that in the beginning, I remember.
Thanks, Dean. We'll talk to you tomorrow.